All right. Let's be sure we're applying the verse, the doctrine of the verse that we are dealing with here. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Being in Bible class and have learned Bible doctrine, you know what it is, what is involved in this process. You know that you have to be current on rebound in fellowship, and then you are presented and you are able, you are, your body, your living body is a set apart, that's the idea behind holy, a sacrifice, and you're at God's disposal. In other words, you're going to do His will, mentally, overtly, and whatever it takes, insofar as you understand the content of Scripture. If you don't have the information, you can't apply what you don't know, obviously. If you don't know the directive will of God, how you're supposed to operate under name something, then you have to get the doctrine. You have to get the information so you can figure out what steps need to be taken or not taken in order to be in the will of God with regard to any issue. My job is to present this to you and get it in front of you. And it's sometimes, you know, I've got to just faith rest that if people are positive and intellectually honest, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. If people decide in an area that they're just going to be stubborn, you know, that's on their head. It's not on my head because I taught it. I made it clear what the directive will of God is for you, the do's and the don'ts in any given situation. And of course, you can profile yourself. I am this, and so forth. And this is my niche. This is my circumstances. Married, not married, this, and what the will of God is for me in my relationships to fill in the blank. And under any particular test you may suddenly find yourself under. And that test could be what anything. But it will. But under the doctrine of testing, you know the ground. Well, you should know by now, the ground rules. You are not going to be put under something that you cannot handle. It's going to be, you say, well, man, I must really be able to handle some stuff then. Okay, that's true. You've been here for decades. If you've been using your time fairly well, then you've learned a lot. You've heard a lot. Yes, we forget some things. Oh, okay, that verse. Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to. But I can't believe some people, some believers, don't understand that. Couldn't be. In some cases, it's just not possible that they miss that. It should be so damn obvious. So why don't they do it? I don't know. I'd at least like a believer to say, I do this, I'm out of line with the will of God. Okay? That's helpful because you know what you need to do to get back in fellowship. So the next time you're out of line, you can pull yourself back in and be an acceptable sacrifice to God. We're not to make each other stumble spiritually. And that, of course, involves, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, kowtow to everybody's little wishes, but we're not to make other believers stumble, set a bad example, and even before the cosmos out there. And you who work with other people, the unwashed multitude, they don't know rebound. Oh, yeah, they do. No, they don't. They understand, evangelical Christians, you're supposed to confess your sins. But look, I was a good student of theology and what I was hearing from the pulpit and then in Bible school. I was a good student. I have proof of that. I was book poor. Got a library full of them. commentaries, books on theology. Nobody, and I don't believe I would have missed it, nobody taught me the consequences of being in fellowship or the consequences of being out of fellowship. I just muddled along. I didn't know that my next sin, I was supposed to name it to God. I didn't know that. And ideally, to keep short accounts. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that when I'm out of fellowship, I never talked in those terms. Right? All the only terms we talked in, you're saved or you're not saved. You know? Or, but they never taught you, never taught me. You're supposed to, the next sin, you're supposed to name it. And you're back in fellowship. And as often as you need to, you use it. That's part of the mercies of God. And He doesn't violate His essence by forgiving us of our sins that we repeat over and over and over again. Let's say you have a big worry grid. You see these great believers in the Bible, and you know, it's like I want to say to people, have you not read your Bible? Were you not here? We're going to take a top notch a believer as you can find in the Bible, and show you how they failed under a set of circumstances. Abraham bailing from the geographical will of God, leaving the land of promise, taking his entire organization and going to Egypt. He fully planned to come back, but he was just going to ride out that famine that was going on in the Canaanite territory, a localized famine. And it was a severe one. And he's got all this, he's in the livestock business. And they got to have grazing ground. And there's no rain. And the pressure, and animals are dying. And things are going, and people are putting pressure on him. Just, Abraham, we just go down here for a little bit, and when the rains come back, we'll hightail it up out of there. So Abraham gave over to fear. He relocated himself geographically for a period of time. Went to Egypt and came home back to the land. Richer by far than when he went down there. He gets rebuked by an unbeliever, legitimately. Pharaoh rebukes him for lying about the identity of this beautiful woman that he's with, that he says, it's my sister. Well, she was his half-sister. But it's still a lie. You're supposed to say, she's my wife. This was a fear grid area he had, that the next monarch and the next person would kill him and take his wife. Because if the man's dead, she's free to remarry. So Abraham failed in this department. But he came back, reset himself, offered up the appropriate rebound offerings. Thank God we don't have to do that. I have to go find a sheep and kill it. I am so grateful for that one. And I don't even have to do it once a year. Israel had a national rebound offering. There's an offering within the code of offerings listed that's the trespass offering. It's or you could, as a Jew, you could bring a little cute little lamb up to the tabernacle or what have you, temple, and they would sacrifice it for you, as long as it was perfect, no blemishes. to illustrate the work of Jesus Christ on the cross with regard to the sins of the world. The clean and the innocent being killed, slaughtered for the guilty. So this will of God, as we have noted here, is described in the verse 2 under these three adjectives: good, intrinsically good, acceptable. God, you don't have to, I accept that. We use the word acceptable. It can be translated pleasing as well, that particular adjective. The EU is the good, aristos. It pleases God when we're in fellowship. It pleases God when we put our STA aside and carry on under whatever it is we're confronted with. Temptation, suffering, someone treating you badly, and so forth. And perfect. So God's will is perfect under point 36 as it comes from His perfect essence. He cannot generate anything that is less than perfect. So if you can determine the directive will of God for anything, then you know that's the perfect will of God for you. And align yourself with it. Yes, and you are allowed to grow up. But eventually, you hear something enough, you become culpable. You can become more and more culpable. And if you don't line up, you open yourself up to divine discipline. And that will be monitored according to the issue involved. But that's a good thing. Blessed are those whom the Lord disciplines. Well, how's your day going? I'm blessed. I'm under divine discipline. What I tell people is, if to avoid that, is rebound as quick as possible. Not encouraging you to sin, and like I've probably been accused of. You just tell people to go out and sin and then rebound. No, I have never said it and put it in that framework. I've told you not to, and yet we will every day, but we have rebound. If you don't have any faith in rebound, then I don't know what the deal is. Well, you do. I've already confessed that. End discussion. I don't have to do any more. I have to do any penance. And I don't need you to browbeat me about it. Because I've confessed it. I am in fellowship. Well, you do it over and over. I'm in fellowship. Are you listening? Do you not trust that God will deal accordingly? So, we have a separate doctrine of divine discipline. Believe me, I know what it means to be under divine discipline from time to time. From minor stuff up the ladder. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Do not react and when you're under divine discipline. It's sort of like, sort of like getting sick. Some part of your anatomy, you're sick. And maybe you can figure out what to do to help correct it or write it out. That's what you do. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I'm not encouraging ST activity, though I know that people say, oh, I can just... Well, we've probably done that from time to time. But we were being stupid. We weren't acting wise. And you come to your senses, you confess it, you get yourself in fellowship, and you get rolling. Okay? Next time you exchange words with your wife or your husband, you're both out of fellowship. Yeah, but he said that. Oh, okay, then that's an excuse, right? Sometimes you just have to bear up under something. God will take care of him or her and get their attention and thump them if that's what it takes. And when he does, you don't say, go, I told you so. Don't go there. Do not go there. You will open yourself up for DD, divine discipline. And again, divine discipline is in a specific category, and then there's suffering in general that's called undeserved suffering. You didn't do anything to bring it on yourself. It's a CHP, common human problem. You're going to have common human problems. If you lived a perfect life and never sinned, which you won't, you're going to have common human problems. If you do live righteous and holy and do it at a high level, then you're going to have it from other people. Because they don't like that. They don't like that. They tend not to. They want you to be like them in all respects, but you're not. Okay, where was I? That was then the 2 Timothy 2:4 one. Did I look that one up? Never. Well, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm here and I can. Sorry, I was. What's that? That's for a pastor. That doesn't apply to you. Yes, it does. But the pastor teacher is not to involve himself, entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life, like the average person can. Now, that doesn't mean, in some instances, a pastor may have to have an outside job. Paul worked with his hands because he couldn't go in and ask these new converts for money. You don't do that. Because there was all these charlatans running around charging, you know, like we're gonna have a conference here and show you how to get financially rich. Step up and put your $70 down and you can come to our conference. No. But entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So you have an analogy here between the civilian and the soldier. The soldier is commissioned under his orders, and he comes and goes as his commanding officer tells him to. And of course, the commanding officer or the pastor teacher is Christ. Doesn't mean he doesn't give him any freedom. Doesn't mean it's onerous. It's just what it is. Hebrews 11:6. Obviously, this is without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith here is faith in the active sense of trusting in God, believing in his word. And without faith, we couldn't get anywhere because we didn't see him create the original creation. We weren't there watching, were we? So we believe what the Bible says about it. And we go from there. And then we look around us and says it fits what's around us. It's the best fit. Details, we can fill in details on any doctrine down the road. There may be some more details that are hidden in Scripture and so forth with regard to the nature of our firmament-domed flat earth that's immovable. God can rock it like that. He will in the trib. Oh my gosh. I was talking about people, you know, out there today that God and his plan does not seem to fit the ones I run into. Nothing. Well, guess what? They're going to face all this without any doctrine. They're going to face, once this rapture hits and goes up, they're going to get to face this whole package. They're going to be like those Egyptians sitting down in Egypt, content, fat, and happy, prospering, and glorying in the power of Egypt and all of it. They got hit. Plague one. Okay, we'll get past that one. That one's over. Two. And on we go down the line. They got hit with the reality of the living God. And it wasn't one of their fake deities. Their fake deities couldn't help them at all because they're non-existent. There's no Nile God that's out there that's protecting his water. There's no sun God. They had a God for everything, practically. A lot of these people did. If it wasn't a God, it was some good luck fortune. Valentine's Day is coming up. How many emails I get? Oh, well, Valentine's Day. It's pagan. Oh. Cupid. You know, shooting the little arrow. That's a pagan concoction about love between a man and a woman. That's what that is. And we inherited because, oh, I forgot. It's fun. It's fun. Now, you can give your sweetheart a box of chocolates if you want to. Okay, fine. But we don't believe in any of this junk. It's all concocted. And Christianity isn't like boring. I'm not bored because I'm not wrapped around the axle about name one of the holidays. One of the ones that have a religious connotation. Christmas and Easter. I'm wrapped around the axle about that stuff. And you, when you live out there, you figure out what you're going to do and not going to do. You want to go in whole hog, cover your house with lights, put a big tree up, and spend all that money? Then you got to take it all down and pack it away. Oh, those lights are really pretty. Okay, they're pretty. People can decorate things and make them look pretty. But the significance spiritually is that there isn't any. There is no significance. It goes back to, does this glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it glorify Him? A candlelight service of some... No, it does not. Back to me, it's boring. You want to entertain me, then teach me the details of the situation historically with regard to the birth of Christ, the timing of it, and all the little details. Fill me in on that. The announcement to Mary and Joseph, separate announcements that this is the role they're going to... You want to play this role? You want to bear the humanity of the Messiah? Do you want to be the only virgin in human history who gets pregnant and is still a virgin? Do you want to do that? There's a price to pay with this because people are going to run their mouths. And Joseph knew this, and he took his betrothed and got her into isolation from general people until the Messiah was born. That's what he did. He had to bear up under this too, that his wife was going to have a child that wasn't technically his. And that was his test. And to keep her a virgin until after that child was born, even though they were married before the child, before she became impregnated by the Holy Spirit. That was their test. That was the role they played. Only one couple in all history could play that role. And they played it perfectly. They did the will of God. So, figuring out what the will of God is essential. And so, it is impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That's the first step. He who comes to God must believe there is a God. And that is his belief system. There is an all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, blah, 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 God who is perfect in all respects. not by our standards, but by His standards. He sets the standards. And He's eternal, and He's always been here. He didn't come into existence like we did. He's always been here. Always will be here. He's everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. Eternal to eternal. We use the word, people use the word eternal and everlasting. Everlasting love. Blah, 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 blah. Or people say some stupid stuff. Nothing's forever. You'll see that, you'll hear that human view. Nothing's forever. That is not true. That is absolutely not. Now, the physical creation that we know of today, it is temporal. It has a start and it'll have a fiery end. And then we'll put a new permanent one, He will, in its place. The earth too. Which isn't going to be a spinning ball with no sun. How goofy is that? Let your senses and certain things be a guide. You can't live on curvature. Not as humans as we know humans. You can't live on it. It screw up everything. Water wouldn't hold to it. You couldn't build a straight line. Everything would have to, all the engineering diagrams would have to all be all messed up. You wouldn't even like your house. You would not like it. Who would build on that kind of a thing? A constant like this. And you can just take the word horizon and throw it out the window. Because it technically isn't a horizon. If it's like this. See? And as you know, that has cost us a lot of church members. But I, by the grace of God, I am not going to pull punches where they deserve to be. I'll try. I will try to do it. I don't always successful. But I'll try to be gentle. I'll try to introduce things. I'll try to, for certain people, so as not to embarrass them, to beat around the bush. Drop hints. But when I come across a straight-up passage that deals with the topic, I have to deal with it at the risk that this person is going to spin out of here with their Bible and that's it. See? Because I won't give up on it. If he mentions that one more time, well, he will mention it one more time. You know? I'm not here at all costs to keep people happy. Oh, we could have had a big fundy church with a choir, with a youth camp. You know, all these bells and whistles and everything but what you need to make it spiritually. The short time we're together in a week, the short time we are together, is this going to make the difference? Assuming that you as a believer are making the applications. Yes. Well, I don't know if Jack's good enough. You don't know. What do you know? Why don't you get your eyes on yourself? If you do what you're being taught and abide by it, you will be okay. If by some deal I come up short at the Bema, you still can make it. That's what you need to concern yourself with. Instead of run. But if a person's looking for an excuse, they're going to find one. They're going to find it. It's not that hard. I think there's a lot of wonderful Christians out there, and you just cast this on. Look, I am not going to give a blanket approval of modern Christianity. Even the versions where the people are believers. I'm not going to give a blanket affirmation. Oh, this is great. I need a concrete example of a church that's doing what it's supposed to be doing, and I want to see what their doctrines are and their belief grid, starting with salvation and the essence of God, and work up, and then I can see if that and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then I'll say, yeah, that's good. If it's out there, it's out there. But based on the marquees I've been reading, I don't think so. But if there's one, there's one. Here and there. But just blanket approval. Churches that believe you can lose your salvation or that you got to add works to it. Paul is very strong. As long as they preach the gospel, they're okay. This is what one of my ex-students said. Ex-members, or it wasn't a member here, was a teacher in our seminary, excuse me. And I was his teacher over in Tulsa. When he was in seminary there. Oh, as long as it was reported to me. So, you're out here affiliating with Pentecostals and others. Well, as long as they preach the gospel, that's okay with me. Really? What gospel? Whose gospel? Which one? Which version? There's the pure version. That's the only one I want. And Paul spoke very strongly against, in the Galatian example, that these people are anathema. That add something to the work of Jesus Christ that you need to do to be saved. And it's easy to blow some of this right out of the water. Well, you need to be baptized. Oh, really? So someone on their deathbed who believes in Christ and is no position to be dunked underwater, what are you going to do about that poor guy? He's just mangled in a car accident and he's going to die, but he gets the gospel and believes. Like the thief on the cross that believed while he was on the cross and died physically shortly thereafter. Who baptized him? Mister, you need to be baptized to go to heaven. You need to be baptized in order to be in the directive will of God as a believer, but not to gain salvation. You already got it. That's why you're getting baptized, to illustrate your identification with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Boom. Or communion, or whatever it is. That's why we do this, and this is why we get in, that's why I get in trouble. When you tell people the truth, they don't want to hear it. They want me to compromise. This goes way back. They want me to compromise. And I said, no, you're going to do what you're going to do. But it won't be approved of from this pulpit. If you're dragging your kids off to some, airborne ranger evangelist, turned evangelist, with big biceps, speaking to kids in public schools and churches, not out in the woods. No. No. What can he do for you? Besides disorient you and get you all emotionally cranked up about how to be a good American or a patriot or whatever it is. You can come here and learn how to be the right kind of patriot. The right kind of citizen. Of a national entity. Another obligation you have. That comes up in Romans 13. There are obligations to the pagan Roman government. What are your obligations? That's in 13. So you must believe that God is. He exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's what I'm after. The rewarder factor. I can get rewards in the cosmos. A person can. They can gain wealth, fame, distinction, honors, various kinds of things that people are out there after. Devoting themselves 100% to pursuing some goal or objective they may or may not get to the top of. You know, like this guy, I could have been a world-class professional golfer. if I would have, in my youth, listened to those around me, but I knew better. Well, maybe so. But that's a temporal thing. I want the rewards that come and is available to all believers, regardless of IQ, genetics, or any other factor you can name. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So we will continue this quest till the end, which I pray will be very, very soon. So God's will is perfect. It comes from His perfect essence. 37, it can't be improved upon. There's nothing exterior that we need to know. Don't let anybody fool you. Well, this person has some prophecy or something. Run the other direction. So we should not add to or subtract from what we know to be true in the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come together this day. Be with us, each of us, as we face the end here in Christ's name. Amen.